Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace, mercy, peace. Okay. What about Judas? How do we solve a problem like Judas? Now, for centuries, that name has been synonymous with traitor, betrayer, killer. It's like Jesus says in Scripture, "Woe to that one by whom the Son of God, the Son of Man, is betrayed. It would have been better for that person, that one, not to have been born." It makes us wonder, where is the boundary? Where does Judas end and forgiveness begin? We who look at God through a lens of grace, we have to wonder, how do you solve a problem like Judas? It's not just him. There are other infamous traitors of history, and the quieter but just as destructive betrayers of human life and dignity that we see today. I'll be honest, I don't like the options. The options were usually given, in or out, forgiven or forever judged, or forgotten. Justice or mercy. The middle ground feels even worse. Mercy without justice, or justice without mercy. How do you solve a problem like Judas? In truth, I don't think we can, have to, are able to solve it. But we shouldn't try to look past the betrayal or massage it into some neat purpose. I mean, it's human nature, of course. Someone had to do it, we wonder. Blame it on the devil or Judas's demons. Or he was just doing what needed to be done, what Jesus asked. We look for loopholes, but that ignores the very real and true reality of the cross. My son came home from camp this week, and he asked me this question one night. I'm pretty sure my daughters also asked me this question, so they both get points here. You can tell they're at this service. "Mom," he asked, "how does crucifixion actually kill you? Where did you hear that? And who was preaching in chapel?" He'd been hearing about it in chapel every day at COP. And the answer, I told him, is brutal. Suffocation. Designed to be slow and painful. And it was very common in the Roman Empire. But we confess, we just did it now. Crucified, died, buried. When we do that, we are acknowledging that Jesus truly lived and truly suffered on the cross. Was it necessary? I mean, he was human, so he would have to die. But the cross? I don't know. But I do know what Jesus did with it. We just heard about it in that last evening. Jesus ate a meal with all of the disciples. And Matthew makes a point here to say that 12 All of them ate and drank. Matthew portrays Judas's betrayal not as a past mistake or a future inevitability, but as something happening right then, right there, in the present moment. Judas was actively betraying Jesus at that table. And Jesus knew it. Of course he did. And Jesus fed him anyway. And Matthew is the only gospel writer who places the words for the forgiveness of sins directly into that meal. In the face of betrayal, Jesus didn't mince words. Neither did he withhold bread. Judas's betrayal leads Jesus to the cross. And the rest of the disciples, well, they abandoned Jesus on his cross. And later, from that very cross, what does Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. As if to say, do your worst to me, and I will still be with you. I will still love you. The cross of death will be a way of life, even there. It is an ultimate statement that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I still don't know how to solve the problem of Judas, or what the outcome was, or the problem of anyone who betrays God and neighbor. It would have been better for this one. Well, you know. I don't know. But I know what Jesus does. He offers bread, speaks words of forgiveness, and goes to the cross to face death and judgment. Now, make no mistake, judgment is real. We read about it in Scripture. We experience it in our life. Judgment is real. It's there. And I think that's part of the good news that we don't like to admit. But hear this. Violence, suffering, and despair have no future in God's kingdom. We don't know how the disciples solved the Judas problem. And maybe that's a gift. But we look at what God has done. How God has chosen judgment. God chooses to judge by forgiving sins. Not by forgetting or pretending it doesn't matter, but by swallowing them up, burying them in the dust, and raising us to new life. Why come to the meal today? Does it even matter? What's the point? To remember that God has not abandoned us to our failures or to the cruel whims of the world. We are fed at this table without earning it, with all of who we are, scars and wounds and hurts and betrayals included. You can leave it there at the table and receive what you are, the beloved, precious body of Christ. In this meal, forgiveness is always available. Jesus made it so. So whatever you are holding or hiding or skipping, come as you are. Take and eat. Take and drink. And remember that goodness is stronger than evil. Life is stronger than death. And love is more fierce than any grave. Amen.